So, Rhiannon, you've been doing this series since the beginning of the year. You made this year-long commitment. And at this point in the series, I'm sure you start to feel a lot of empathy with the breadth of this issue and how the medical community and the patients start to feel just helpless and stuck and overwhelmed.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the questions that's bothered me a lot through this series is, why aren't we changing? Why has it taken us so long to get to a point where we're starting to shift those statistics in a healthier way? And this story that's coming out Sunday is really going to explore that. It's going to explore what the city is doing to try to tackle the epidemic, what kind of action that we have taken, and frankly, what sort of inaction has happened here too. We'll revisit the Morenos. They were in the second story that ran back in February, and we'll take a look at their progress. They are a really good example of a family that's struggling to figure out what to do with this disease. The father was diagnosed with prediabetes last year, and he's gained weight since then. He hasn't been able to rein in his blood sugar. And so we'll really dig deep into what's happening inside their home that makes them feel so powerless and hopeless when it comes to diabetes.
And in this series, I mean, that's kind of really where you're going, is from the time that folks get this diagnosis or from the time that the city realizes or the medical community realizes that there's a big problem, going from the struggle to going to action, to taking steps, literal and figurative, to try to address this problem. And so, what did you find as you looked through this? Because, you know, there are those times that the city and that individuals have really put forward this big effort, and we've struggled with that action part of it.
Yeah, so one of the really unique things that I've noticed in Corpus Christi, especially since I've started doing this series, is that there is this sense of fatalism almost about diabetes. And I'd heard providers and doctors tell me this from the beginning of the series, that they'll diagnose people with diabetes in their office. They'll tell them what to do. They'll send them home with medication and a diet plan. And then they'll come back 3 months later for a checkup and they'll be worse. And the providers feel very frustrated and they tend to call the patients non-compliant. But that label really isn't getting at some of the barriers that we as a community have to getting healthier here. This community has more fast food restaurants per capita than the national average and the state average. We tend to have a environment that's unfriendly to cyclists and pedestrians. I crunched some data and found out that 900 cyclists and pedestrians were struck by cars in the past 7 years. So there's something going on in our environment as well that's working against us. And any successful initiatives are really going to have to tackle both that attitude piece and the environment piece.
And you looked at some of the attempts that we've had toward taking action when we were labeled, say, the fattest city and other initiatives of that nature. And you kind of tracked the success or lack thereof of some of the attempts to kind of help the community be healthier as a whole.
Yeah, I wonder if people out there remember Fit and Free by the Sea. It was this really big event that was put on right after the Fattest City label came out. And there were 1,200 people that showed up at Cole Park to get weighed in. And they were going to lose weight. This was a six-month challenge. By the end of that challenge, only 40 people showed back up. Within a few months, that organization disbanded. The founder of that organization said she was unable to get anyone to give her any more money. And it was just really disappointing and frustrating because we're a city that really needs this kind of help. We're a city that really needs some change. And to see something like that disappear is obviously very disappointing and doesn't really help us. So what I'm hoping to show people with this is that we've tried things in the past, and a lot of them, you know, have disappeared or fizzled away or fallen short. But I hope to also give people some hope and show them that, yeah, there is things that we can do, and we shouldn't just throw our hands up and say, this is our fate, because it's not.
And the problem is big and it is overwhelming, and taking action can be so difficult. Are you seeing any signs of hope there in a city that has struggled so much?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you look around and you see, definitely you see more people out there exercising on Ocean Drive. Every time I drive to work, I see people out there running and jogging and cycling. I got here in 2010, and it was right after the Fattest City designation. So it's a little bit hard for me to judge the progress. But when I talk to people who have been here for a while, they say that sort of physical activity happening on Ocean Drive didn't happen in the past, nor did this proliferation of 5Ks. So there's a 5K here every weekend now, and that's really, really hopeful. I think the difficulty that we're having now is quantifying that success. How do you know that those 5Ks are reaching the people that really need it, are reaching the neighborhoods where diabetes and obesity is the worst? And so I think the shift that we're going to see coming in the future will be looking at, how do we gauge our success? How do we measure whether or not the city is trying to get healthier?
And we have been speaking with Rhiannon Myers, investigative reporter with the Corpus Christi Caller-Times. Rhiannon, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.